Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
Good morning. I am so glad to be here with you today. I've known TJ for half a dozen years or a little more than that, and it's always an honor to be able to come and share the Word of God with the people of God. Now, I've preached, as Shane said, I've pastored five churches from coast to coast, and I've had lots of opportunities to preach all over the place and had some unusual experiences in church. One time I was speaking in Truckee, Nevada, which is up by Lake Tahoe. And I was just, they had their set of music, and there was good music. And then the time was there for me to preach. And I knew it was my time to preach, but they didn't tell me that they did something else. There was this gap of time, and I stood up, and they all walked out. Literally, everybody went into that back room there. Right in the middle of the service is when they had their donuts and coffee. And I couldn't get them out. So I went back there and I talked to them and I said, what are we doing in here? And donuts, coffee, or OJ, and that's just what they did. They sang three songs and then they left. But we finally got them back in there and we had a nice service. But there's different ways that things are done. But this is the first church I've ever attended that Jesus is in the other room. Okay? I went in there to see the nursery and all that's back there in the children's area, and I looked back there. I've seen Santa Claus. I've seen other things, but I thought, that's pretty cool. And then one of the workers was telling me that the kids will sometimes snuggle up on Jesus' lap. And I thought, that's a great idea. I wished I'd have thought of that. But we're just glad to be here. Been praying for TJ. And if you tell him one thing when you get a chance. Now, Tony, his mother, is a friend of mine. And we've served together on the Genesis board. And I've told her to tell TJ this. Tell him he owes me $20, okay? And just tell him that I announced that publicly, and it would be shameful for him not to pay up.
You're my brother, and I still owe you $20.
Yeah, that's my sister and brother-in-law, and she still owes me money. Let me ask you a question. We're going to be in the book of Joshua today, so if you go ahead and move that direction, Joshua chapter 3. Title of the message is, You've Never Passed This Way Before. But let me ask you a question. If you've already experienced or traveled everywhere that you want to travel, it may be, that you are limiting God. If you've traveled as far as you want and you've done all you could think of, it may be that we're limiting God, because God may have a bigger plan for your life. Regardless of your age, regardless of your health, regardless of any other status, regardless of the fact you're in a rented facility, regardless of the fact that you've been kind of a nomadic church here for a while and kind of on the move and from here to there and all that's going on and what you're looking at now and all of those things, God just may have something for you. And that's why I want to share with you this message that you've not passed this way before. You've never gone where God wants you to be. Your pastor TJ is going to come home from Uganda, from experiencing what he experienced across in a different continent, across the ocean, and he's going to be different. I've had some opportunities in some foreign countries, and I was sharing with Shane this, one of the things that you experience when you're going other places is you see that people that know the Lord are so happy, and they have so little. And they're so joyous, and they worship with excitement and enthusiasm in a lot of places. And then you come back to America, and you think, what happened? What happened? Have you heard in the news recently about Asbury College and Seminary? Exciting. I had a pastor friend call me yesterday or the day before, and he said, I'm going up. You want to go? I said, I can't go right now. You know, I've got a church that I'm going to be speaking at on Sunday, and I've got a couple other things but it's starting to happen there, that a movement of God is happening. And it's starting to spread to other campuses. The same thing happened in 1970 at the same place. And it happens periodically in some places. But boy, do we need that to happen in the United States. We need revival. We need a spiritual awakening from God that will transform lives and communities. Because the only hope that we have, it's not going to be in the government. It's not going to be in who we elect. I think that's important. But it's going to be God who is going to transform this country and our people and even our churches and your lives today. Let's talk about this today. You've not passed this way before. I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 3. And I want you to follow with me a little bit with this. We're going to read a little bit more. Then I'm going to talk about the first 5 verses with you. And I've got a few observations that I hope will be beneficial to you. Then Joshua rose, verse 1, early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan. That's the Jordan River. And they lodged there before they crossed. And it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be a distance between you and the Ark of 200 cubits, or about a half a mile. Do not come near it, that you may know the way in which you shall go, for you've not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, as we go on in that passage, this is the promise of God and the fulfillment of God that had been 40 years in the making. It had been 40 years since God freed the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage, where they had been for over 400 years. And they had traveled in the wilderness. They had been a nomadic people. They had gone and lived in this place, and this place, and this place. And when they weren't happy with the leadership, God dealt with them. When they didn't have enough food, God provided manna, which must have been the perfect food. When they said, we're sick of manna, God provided quail. When they said, the water here is polluted, we can't drink it, God provided water. He provided a fact that their clothes didn't wear out over 40 years of wandering. But during that period of 40 years of wandering, all those that had rebelled against God died. That whole generation. And now it was time for the fulfillment of the promise of God given to Abraham many, many years before, that his people would inherit the land flowing with milk and honey, this beautiful land, this perfect land, the chosen land of God. So that's where they are. For 40 years, they've wandered around. And now they're at the point where they're going to cross the Jordan River and enter into this promised land. Point number one that I'd like you to just jot down. I hope you'll take some notes or do something to remember. Point number one was they were looking over chaos. Like I said, for 40 years they'd been running around all over the desert waiting for this promise, but now it was the time. And then this was the preparation for the day when they were going to walk across the Jordan River with the water standing up by wall, like walls on both sides. And you'll read about this in just a few moments. But right now they were looking over chaos. It was unknown. There were obstacles over there. Go down to, verse 10, okay? By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will surely dispossess or get out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and others. These seven nations were enemies, and they were going to do everything they could to stop this new nation, this Israelite nation, from coming in and taking over their country. But this was the promised land that God had given them. Do you remember the 12 spies that went and spied out the promised land? And they brought back fruit and they brought back stuff and they said, man, it's a great place. It's just like we were told. But there's some giants in that land. There's some scary stuff going on there. It's just like we're told, but there's some people. And we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. How did they know that? What they were thinking about them. They look like grasshoppers in their own eyes, but they were looking at the chaos. They were looking at the problem. They were looking at the obstacles, and they weren't focused on what God had promised and what God was going to do in their life. And that's so much like us. We notice what isn't. We notice what should be. We spend our time just like driving down a car. And yes, you better check the side mirrors when you're driving, because you want to know what's going on next to you to make sure that no one's veering into your lane. And you need to look in the rear view mirror to make sure no one's doing something crazy behind you. But you better spend most of your time looking forward, or you're going to be derailed and you're going to go off the road. And you're going to have an accident. But some of these people were so focused on, boy, it was so great in Egypt. It was great. You were slaves. It was terrible. But they were looking at the fact that the unknown is worse than what we're experiencing. And you see that all the time in people's lives. You see people stay in horrible, difficult, awful situations and places where they ought to do something, they ought to change, but they stay in that situation because it's familiar. And familiar, even though it's bad, can be more intimidating and scary than the unknown. That's why God is going to tell them, you've not gone this way before. So you're going to have to make some preparations to do this. There's no statute of limitations. God's promises don't run out. If God makes a promise, if God says that something is going to be the way it is, it will come to pass. Now, it might not happen in our time frame. It might not happen in our way of looking at things, or it may not happen just exactly like we want or when we want. God says it will come to pass. I think about Pioneer Church. I remember when you started. I remember when you and I talked a little bit about some things. And TJ, I had a high respect for him. I was pastoring less than a mile away. But I got to know TJ, and I thought, man, I'd like to steal him. I'd love to work with TJ. Because he's a person that has a vision, and he's a person that has passion, and he's a person that to me was someone that I thought, this guy gets it. He gets it. Well, there they are at the banks of the Jordan River during the season when it overflowed its banks. So it was not only a wet river, it was wet ground all over the place. Looking and thinking about the fact that we're going to have to go into this land and we're going to have to fight with weapons and have a victorious string of events to be able to claim the promised land. But there's a second thing that I want you to see there. In verse 2, it says, at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp and they commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out and go to your place after it. Now, the second thing I want you to say is, he was telling them, prepare to meet God. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was special. Some of you remember Indiana Jones and the movies. That's not what it was. Good movies, but bad theology. But the Ark of the Covenant was a reminder of the presence of God. But it was not, hear me, God in a box. Is this trailer that's at the end of the building, is that yours? I figured it was. I figured that was your trailer because you guys are nomadic. You're on the move. You're on the move. But you know what some people call that? Church in a box. I don't know if that terminology's ever been used here, but that's not what it is. It's supplies in a box. You don't box God in. You cannot contain him in some kind of a man-made system of thought or practice. And yet so many people want to say, this is how God is. This is how he works. Let me just share one thing. This is a whole message that I have, but I want to just share this with you. We see in the New Testament, Jesus heals some blind people, correct? You've read about that. One of them, he spit on the ground, made mud, put it on his eyes, said, go wash in the pool. And he came back seeing. Another one, he just touched his eyes and they were healed. And he could see. Another one, he said, your faith has made you well. Now, what would have happened if you were sitting around and you had seen Jesus heal a blind person, but you'd only seen one of those events? You would believe that the only way Jesus can heal someone is spit on the ground, make mud, put it on their eyes, and tell them to go wash. That's putting God in a box to think that this is the only way because we have not seen other things. But God is not limited by our way of thinking or our experiences. So preparation, the second observation is preparation to meet God. He said, you guys are going to be traveling across the Jordan River. Right across from one of the areas that you're going to deal with early on in your awareness of the new country, and that's Jericho. But I want you to consecrate yourself, to set yourself apart. Now, if you're going on a trip, well, you're going to do something. Here's how most of us do things. We make sure we've got our clothes. We make sure we've got the plan. We've got the reservations. We've got whatever we're going to do, our camping supplies, whatever we're going to do. We've got our directions, or we've got the GPS, or we've got our phone, so we're okay there most of the time. Unless it takes us on the scenic route somewhere and we end up where we didn't want to go. We take any medicine that we might need. We take anything like this. But so often we get all ready, but we're not spiritually preparing ourselves for what God may want to do. Because God may have an assignment for you on any day. And I believe that he has assignments for us on regular days, every day. Something that he'd like us to do to extend his kingdom. But unless we're spiritually prepared, we may not even notice the person that needs somebody to care about them, to talk to them. We may not even notice that there is a note that needs to be written, an encouragement. And we get a phone call from someone. But God is in the business of setting appointments for us. And unless we are spiritually prepared like they were, we're going to miss the point. And we're going to miss the appointments. And sometimes we don't even know what we missed. And up in heaven someday, I wonder if, man, look at all the stuff that I could have been a part of for God's kingdom. But because I was spending my time navel-gazing and looking at myself, I missed. Well, the Ark of the Covenant was in front of these people. Henry Blackaby, who some of you know, he wrote Experiencing God. He said, "Great works await your willingness to be made holy and set apart for God." But God can't bless the sin in our lives. So unless we are clean vessels, not perfect, but unless we are clean before the Lord, he can't do all in our lives that he would like to do because of us. So the ark is set out there, and it said the Ark of the Covenant was the promise, and it was a symbol of the omnipotent, omnipresent God dwelling among these people. And in this were the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod that was used to perform miracles and a jar of manna. But like we said, it wasn't God in a box. In fact, listen to this. And this is so strong in the Old Testament. If you read your Old Testament, and I hope you do, you will see that two events are crucial to understand the Old Testament. And both of them had to do, particularly the second one, with idolatry. And this is what they were. The Exodus, where the children of Israel were led out of Egyptian bondage. And that's what we're looking at today, the 40 years after they've wandered around because of sin, where they're going to cross. And of course, the exile, when the children of Israel were sent into Babylon, modern-day Iraq, they were sent there by a nation far worse than they were because of the sinfulness and their idolatry. Because this is what they believed. They believe you can make a god out of wood, out of stone, out of some kind of metal, and that God will carry you. But this is the truth. You don't carry God. God is not in a box, and he wasn't in the ark. God carries you. So these people are facing their great fear. But what they needed to focus on was how awesome God was. And there's songs that we sing about how awesome is God, but the word awesome is an emotion combining honor and fear and respect and reverence to one in high position. And they needed to honor God and honor the object, which was the ark, that represented his presence. Not worship the ark, but that represented the presence of God in where they were in their understanding. And he said, I want you to stay about a mile or a half mile away from it. Don't want you to get too close. Why? You think, well, I want to be right next to it. No, I want you to maintain a distance away from it. Because if we crowd it, I don't know how many people there are today, 60, 70 people here, maybe less. But if we all crowded around something, around a car sitting out there in the parking lot, and let's say there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people that wanted to see that car or wanted to see something in the parking lot, and we're all crowded around there, can they see it? No, because too many of us are in the way. We're blocking the view. So I think that's one of the reasons where he says, I want you to stay back away. But I think more importantly, I think he wanted to get them the understanding that you need to be respectful and reverent to God. God is your best friend, but God is also holy and different and unique and worthy of everything that we can give him. So there they are, they're standing there on the edge of the Jordan River. And he told them, I want you to prepare yourself for 3 days before you go. So there they are, they're spiritually getting themselves ready to cross the Jordan River and to overcome one of the fears they had, and that was of crossing that water and going into a land that they were given, but was also an intimidating place with a lot of scary people that they would have to fight their way through to possess the whole land. And this is what he said, and this is what I'd say to you as a church family. Keep your eyes right on God. I know you're looking at some possibilities of a location, but location is not nearly as important as relationship. You're looking for a location, and God may be providing something for that. I hope so. We pray so. I've prayed in the parking lot over at the potential place. And I hope I'm not saying things that you don't already know. But keep your eye and your relationship on God, because you've not passed that way before. And this won't be the only time that you're going to have to step out in faith. This won't be the only time that individually, collectively, as a body of believers, that you're going to have some challenges. It's interesting how some of us think, well, if we could just get to this point, then everything's going to be fine. We'll be the perfect church. If you are, can we join? We've never been a part of one. And you know what? You won't be one. But seek God and keep your eyes on him. Now, I want to just kind of let you see a little bit of what happened, and then I'll kind of wrap this up. They said, stay back a ways. Let the priest go forward carrying the ark, and you watch and follow what happens. Look at verse 10 again, or verse 13. And it shall come about, because the way you've not gone, or the way you're going to need to continue to go, is the way of faith. And you have faith, but boy, you're going to need more, and it's going to need to grow. All of us are like that. My faith is never strong enough. But he said, send those priests on ahead. Verse 13, it said, and it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priest who carry the ark of the Lord, the God of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down shall stand in one heap. Now, what's a characteristic of water? It goes horizontally. But he said, I'm going to turn it vertically. I'm going to shut off on both sides. And they went through on dry ground in verse 17. And the priests who were carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. What a exercise by God of showing his power. This flooded river that was for them an obstacle, but also protection, because they weren't sure they wanted to go over there and face all those giants. God opened up the ground for them to cross, and while the whole nation crossed right in front, on what kind of ground? Dry ground. Not moist, not muddy, dry. Kind of like going through the Red Sea on dry ground. They went through, and they went into the land. So often in our lives, we have a new way with God, and you're in a place where you've got some new things coming, but you've not passed this way before. Keep close to God. Be totally dependent on him. Trust one another. Support one another. Because you've not passed this way before. Either God wins in the world that we live in, or we fail miserably in defeat. Because God has no plan B. Do you got that? God's plan is as it is given in the Word of God, and he's not going to fail in that plan, and there's no alternative plan in case that one doesn't work. And we cannot negotiate with God. We cannot have some kind of a meeting with God and say, well, would you take this kind of a commitment? No, God wants it all, because we've not passed this way before. Living by faith is totally trusting and being dependent by God, because we've not passed this way before. A new relationship with God is always active and on the move, and you've not passed this way before. Some of you in this room, maybe you've never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have been churched all your life. You may have been in church since you were a bed baby. But has your life been transformed by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because you've not traveled this way before. And there's no plan B, and we can't gain access to God by being religious, by being devoted, by trying harder, by doing more activities in the church. The only way we can come into a right relationship with God is coming to Him on His terms and accepting the fact that He died on the cross for my sins, for all of them, and yours, and having His righteousness accepted by God for us. Depending upon Him as our source. And if you are thinking that heaven is based on any other way of getting there, if there's some other alternative, if there's some other religious way to do it, if there's some other road, you're wrong. God says, I have a plan. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to God through me. Plan A and the only plan. Some of you have never traveled that way before, but you need to. It's time. And if you're here today and you've never truly known that you've consciously made a decision to trust Jesus, then why don't you make that your decision today? Boy, if we could talk with you about that, if you have questions, talk to your pastor, I'll hang around here as long as you want to talk about your relationship to the Lord. Anything we could do, there's people in this room. Let me just ask you this. If you would be open, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. So you ready? But don't raise them if you don't mean it. If you would be willing to talk to somebody about their spiritual relationship with Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand. Okay? Just look around. Look around, because there's some people you know. Several people in this room, put them on down. Several people in this room would be willing to talk with you about Jesus. And I hope that we're willing to talk to others outside of here about Jesus. Because we've not passed this way before. And as you look to your future, and you look to where you might end up here. And I hope all that works out, because you need more space. You need more space. Folks, when you're out of parking, when you're out of chair space, you're full. That's it. You can't do more. You could start another service, or you could do that, but there will be a point when that's all you can do. And then you'll start to contract. You've never been this way before, but God has a relationship. He's active, He's on the move, and He wants you to join Him in going His way. So I want to get right back to what I said. If we've already experienced and already been everywhere we want to be, we can limit God, because that's how these people felt. That's how they felt. They don't know about those going across that river and all that stuff. God says, I've got something for you. Father, we want what you want. We want what you want in our lives. We don't want to be hanging back when you're moving forward. We don't want to say, well, I've already done all this stuff for you, and I've served you all my life, and now it's a time for me to rest. Lord, whether we're old or young, healthy, or have some problems, Lord, you're a good God, and you can help us move through whatever obstacles we may face. But just remind us that we've not been this way before, and we need to hold tight to you. Lord, I pray that we would be a people of faith, that this congregation would be a people that others will look at and say, God's in their midst. Something's going on at Pioneer Church. And Lord, may it be you. And we pray that you would remind us right now to depend upon you and not our own feelings and not our own strength, to have success in the kingdom of God for the person of Jesus and his work now and in the future. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.